My name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
If it's one thing I do fairly frequently, I guess, I watch people. I like to keep a close eye on people. I guess for my own good. I don't know. No, I do watch people. I watch their actions, and I observe as best as I can. I don't know. I don't have any particular reason why that is. Some people would call me judgmental for doing so. You know, the shoe fits, whatever. I usually keep that shit to myself anyway, you know. But one thing I did find amusing, or I have found amusing, is what people do at times. Sometimes you can't help but be judgmental, but you can't help but watch people as well, especially if you're, God, if you're dabbling around on social media and you see what people post up there. It is, you know, we've all heard those arguments about that, you know, that, oh, I can't believe so-and-so said this or so-and-so said that. And, you know, all these other things are being said and done. And look at these pictures and, oh, my God, those shoes. Well, what I find amusing is when there are people who spend a majority of their time during, you know, throughout the week bitching about their lives. How miserable they are, how broke they are, how their lives are meaningless and have no future. Yet they're the ones that post on Friday that it is Friday and it's time to party. My question, therefore, is what the fuck do you have to celebrate? Seriously. All we've heard about all week long was the fact that your job sucked, your life is miserable, and yet it's time to party because it's Friday. And then, of course, on Monday, it's that whole thing again. When you and I have discussed this about Mondays. Mondays, there's nothing wrong with Mondays. Mondays are perfectly fine. It's just another day of the week. It's your job that sucks, or your life. Fix it. Do something about it. Make yourself a little bit better. Something else I notice about people too, and it is sort of annoying at times. I was at a function last night at a place that had a very large parking lot, and I was running late, and I'm trying like hell to get to where I'm supposed to be on time. And it was a fairly crowded deal, and I'm trying to get parked, and I'm going around. You know, I'm trying to find a parking spot, not the parking spot, but trying to find a. I'm not one of these guys that has to, you know, be, you know, 3 feet from the door. I'll park. I don't give a shit where. I don't mind the walk. It really no big deal. I like to park fairly, you know, on the right side of the building. Let's put it that way, so I don't have to walk around it. But, you know, I don't mind that. So I'm not too picky when it comes to parking. So I'm trying to get to this end of the parking lot. And this guy in front of me is backing out of his spot. Guy, girl, I don't know who it was. Large car. Backs out and has to do like a 4-point turn to get out of the spot. And it's taking forever for all of this. And of course, when you know how you are, when you're running late, you're already a little annoyed. So some waterhead with a car he doesn't know how to drive is holding things up because he's trying to get out of your way, not knowing exactly how it is he's supposed to drive his car. Doesn't know that he's actually still got 15 feet behind him to back up even further, so he doesn't have to put it in drive and go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth until he can finally get out of the space. I'm not trying to talk over the jet. It's just, it just flew over me here. Here's my thing, too. If you're going to buy a big car, learn to drive it. That would be handy. That would be a nice thing. And I don't know what it is about the city of Memphis, but it seems like everywhere you go, there is always somebody who has to figure out that they have to put everybody's life on hold for a moment until they can back their car into a spot. Everywhere they go, they got to park, they got to back in. And they don't know how to do it. So it takes them a while. Feel a little punchy and crabby, I guess, if you can tell. But here's the thing. For the longest time, I used to ask people, so why do people back into spaces so they can make a faster getaway? Would be an answer. Actually, it was to hide the fact that they hadn't renewed their license plates. That's what it was, I think. Not that a police officer is going to do much of anything. I don't know. If you're one of these people that likes to back into spots, and I've just offended you, whatever, dude. Wasn't my intention to completely offend you. Just, you know, I have an opinion. I have a right to share my opinion. I'm out here at the park, and I see a group of people that are gathered around the World War I memorial. It looks like they're having some sort of a support group meeting, which just seems sort of strange to have that going on there in the shadow of a very big bronze guy with a rifle. I don't know what they're talking about. It's none of my business. And down the way a bit is this cute blonde girl with a couple of her friends, and they're practicing what appears to be circus acts. Just another day in the park here in Radio Land. As I'm just being extra judgmental. Don't know why. I don't know why I feel that way sometimes. I guess, you know, people are people. We all get annoyed by one thing or another. We all have our, I don't know, our pet peeves. I don't really have too many. I have a few, but right now for life, I can't really think about what a pet peeve. Oh, well, I've got a good one for you. Every time my wife is in the kitchen and she opens the refrigerator door, she leaves it open. You know, for a while. And I'm always telling her, you need to close it. I don't know why. And it doesn't really, I don't know, it's not that it bothers me, it's just I just feel the need to go behind her and close the refrigerator door. It's silly. It's silly, I know. It's like, I guess the people who back into parking places sort of annoy me. That makes sense, I suppose. There are, I guess, far worse things out there that you could be annoyed about, I guess, or really some of the things that really bother me are things like why people make such a big deal about some of the things that are happening in politics. I don't understand that at all, because there's really nothing that you can do about it. Nothing I can do about it. Nothing anybody can do anything about. We're not in control. We never have been. It's an illusion. These people that sit there and go, we must rise up and we must take our country back. Like it was, what, 1760? This isn't the French Revolution. Have you noticed the state of conditions that our local police departments across the country are? They're buying surplus military equipment. And I can't figure out for the life of me why some small town yokel of a cop needs to have an armored tank. He's got 5 stoplights in his town. He's got, what, maybe 15 officers he's working with. Their sole source of income is setting up a speed trap in through their town. But by God, when ISIS comes, they've got themselves a motherfucking tank and a fully automated weapon system. It kills me that this happens and nobody bats an eye. Because we don't have control over it, I suppose. You know, it's like, okay, the cops have something. Well, they go, well, you should see the state of things. You know, the crime is so bad that, you know, we've got to have this. Okay, great. So you have it. And yet the crime rate is still the same. It hasn't changed any that I can tell. People are still getting shot. People are still getting kidnapped. I don't know if they kidnap people or not around here anymore. People are getting robbed, raped, beaten, having their shit stolen. But the cops are driving around in armored personnel because they're see, this is it. That's the scary thing. That's what people need to understand is that these people that have this stuff are going to justify having it. They're looking for a reason to deploy it. Why would some small town cop have an Apache helicopter or an armored personnel carrier or a grenade launcher when the city, like here in Memphis, I'm sure we've got this stuff. They don't really deploy. What they do have here, which is really kind of amusing, our county sheriff's office has an RV. It's a big RV too, man. It's sweet. It's got a lot going for it. And on the side of it, it says something like command center. Mobile command center. And they set it up when they're at the music festivals or any type of outdoor festival activity. There's a lot of people. They bring out the mobile command unit, the command center. Because, you know, patrolling a bunch of drunks requires the latest and greatest of all technology. And, of course, we have to be able to deploy perhaps a drone or two, the Apache helicopter and the armored personnel carrier. You know, we're down here on the Mississippi River, too, as you noted from last week. And despite the fact that it was very windy that day, I'm surprised we don't have a Navy. I mean, the Coast Guard, yeah, patrols it, but, and there's river traffic up and down all the time. But I'm surprised the city of Memphis hasn't gone so far as to come up with its own Navy. That would be amusing, perhaps. What would we do without our Navy? There are, I know, some police departments out there that have requested to have drones. I noticed today when I was out driving that you don't really think much of it because we've kind of slipped into this, but by God, we're all on camera at some point or another. Probably no less than, I would say on average, probably no less than about 8 or 10 times a day. I was at the stoplight, and I was looking up at the light, and I just happened to notice that there was a camera aimed right at me. Surveillance, I guess. It's not an enforcement deal that I'm aware of. I haven't gotten a ticket there, and I've run that light. But here's the thing. Every time you see on the local news that they've got some type of surveillance footage that they're going to show you because they're looking for somebody, it's always really grainy. You ever notice that? It's like it could be Bigfoot for all we know. With this technology that we have in our existence right now, you would think that you would spend a couple of bucks more, perhaps not buy the armored personnel carrier, and get yourself some high-definition cameras so you can see who the perpetrator was that stole the old lady's purse. But no, I'm not really worried about all these cameras because what can you do? It's not like the footage is that clear anyway. Although I disagree with the whole cameras writing me a ticket thing. That's just wrong. I think it's illegal too. But Who am I but just one person who cannot stop a municipality for doing this? You just have to, you have to let them do what they're going to do, I suppose. You remember when the whole Occupy thing was going on? The Occupy movement, it was a big deal for about 10 minutes. Started with Wall Street, and then it, it spread around, and there was all these protesters, and I think it was it UC Berkeley? Very famous picture of the protesters, the students that were seated there in their courtyard area, their grove, or whatever you want to call it, having a quiet protest. Something of a peaceful protest. And there was this cop, this small dick bastard that was walking by. He was in riot gear because, you know, there's nothing more dangerous than a hippie with a vegetarian taco in his hands. And he's got a industrial-sized can of pepper spray, and he's casually walking and spraying these people who are all seated cross-legged on the sidewalk. The guy ultimately, of course, the picture went viral, as they will, as they said. And he was ultimately, I think he ultimately lost his job. Because you just don't do that to people. They weren't causing any trouble. They were silently protesting something. They should have been protesting the fact that this fuck was out there doing that and had every right, in his mind, to completely hose these people down with pepper spray. After he loses his job, of course, he completely flips out and is now bitching to society at large, in general, that he can't get a job. He has been scarred by his own actions. He's been scarred by the fact that this photograph of him has traveled around the world so many times. And has been social memes. It has made its circles. You know, without even having to look at it, you've seen it so many times that the fact that I've mentioned it has now popped into your head. Every time something about Occupy comes up to mind and some type of a protest is happening, usually that picture pops up. Because, you know, the cops are going to come and spray you down because you have an opinion about something. So, once again, this cop with his riot gear, looking for an excuse to use it, found himself one, and now look what happened to him. He's bitching and he's out of a job. Maybe justice was in fact served. We can only hope. Speaking of justice, this whole Tony Stewart thing has some people kind of worked up to. You know, he was involved in an unfortunate incident on a dirt track in New York. He was racing short track up there some time ago, several months ago, and he, you know, as drivers are wont to do, they got into this, a little bit of an altercation out there on the track, and there was some wheel rubbing and that kind of stuff, and this kid gets put into the wall. His name was Ward. And Ward gets out of his car, and he's screaming and hollering, and of course Tony Stewart comes around, they throw in the yellow flag, they've slowed everything down, and in what has been now termed a freak of... an act of God, I guess you will, a freak accident. This kid got killed. He got caught up in the car that Tony Stewart was driving, and he got flipped, and he was thrown a bit, and his neck was broken, and that was that. And the grand jury up there in New York, who ultimately looked at this thing, the New York State, ultimately decided that Tony was not at fault. And in fact, they turned around and they said that the kid, Ward, he was really kind of more at fault than Tony Stewart was. Because he was, part of the autopsy was a toxicology report. And inside that toxicology report, they found that he had enough THC, marijuana, cannabis, if you will, in his system to impair his judgment. Therefore, he got killed because of that. So quite frankly here, kids, what we've learned about this is that if you smoke pot, Tony Stewart will kill you and get away with it. I've seen the video in question. I think there was some intimidation going on from Tony Stewart. He did swerve a little bit to his right. He did accelerate. And he did hit that kid, and he did kill him. I don't think he intended to do that by any means, but he intended to scare the crap out of him. And he did. And then he killed him. But I love the way that the government turns it back around and says, you know, it wasn't Stewart's fault because the kid was already kind of high. See, this is coming from a place that is not legalized marijuana, nor will they want to. The People's Republic of New York or Massachusetts or wherever all up in there, they don't want you to have the ability to go out and smoke grass. So they're looking for every little angle that they can to find a way to show you how bad it is. Look, kids, if you smoke pot, you're going to make some stupid decisions. Now, look, that's a ridiculous statement. Not the only only bad decision you might make while you're high is whether you should have pickles with your sour cream. It's not going to be, you're not going to be wanting, if you're smoking enough pot to impair your judgment, as they put it, do you really think that this kid would have even wanted to get behind the wheel of a race car and drive really fast? No. It's not going to be that way at all. So once again, the legal system did what it did. It's put the spin on it. And now the family of the boy that got killed, they've lawyered up. Of course, we knew that was coming. And they're going after Tony Stewart with both guns. And I guarantee you that if that thing goes to trial, which it probably will, they will find him... they'll find him responsible for that young man's death. And he'll lose a great deal of money in the process. That's what's going to happen. Guilt or innocence is a moot point. He was found not guilty by the state of New York in this accident. So therefore, is he responsible for his death? I think a jury will probably say yes. But they're going to throw that, well, he was smoking so much marijuana. They're going to throw that defense out there to try and try and put it all on him. I mean, it's ridiculous. You can't make that. You can't make those comparisons. It just doesn't quite work that way. So, you know, what do, right? You put your faith into the hands of people who apparently can or cannot, you know, control your life. However much you will allow that to have happen. You know, I've always laughed about the whole thing about gun control because there was all this talk that, you know, no matter who's president, they're always going to come after your guns. Unless they're like really hardcore Republican. But they're going to come after your guns. Obama was going to come after your guns. He was going to take every gun you had. Look, folks, the president can't do that. He's not going to do that. I don't care who gets into the White House. They're not going to take away what's already yours. What they're going to do, though, is they're going to make shit really expensive. They're going to make guns really, really ridiculously expensive. And they're going after the firearm manufacturers. That's how that shit will work. Well, you can have my gun when you pry it out of my cold, dead hands. And they will do that. That's how that will happen. That's precisely how that will be. And eventually, all of those people who have built up their own personal armory, they will die out. And they will be buried with their guns, and there won't be guns in your society. They got to breed them out. You got to breed out all of your problems. That's how they're going to do it. If they were to do it at all, that would be how they're doing it. I mean, it's like I remember as a kid and talking to my father about, you know, it was something that we had seen, spy movie or something like that, and it was about surveillance. And I said, is it even possible that they'd have cameras on everybody? or that they would, you know, record your phone conversations and you know, read all of your mail. And my father would go, well, no, son, that'd be stupid. Just think about it. There'd be so much data. They wouldn't have enough people to go through that data and to catalog it, categorize it. All right, flash forward. 2014. We live in a society where there's a camera on every street corner. All of your phone calls are being recorded by the NSA or CIA or whoever, whatever one of these alphabets are doing it. All of your emails are being read and all of your text messages are being saved somewhere. And look, they're doing it at Facebook. They've been doing it for years. All of your private messages exist on some little space somewhere in a server in the bowels of Facebook. Everything you've ever written is there. Everything you do is known online. By virtue of you listening to this podcast, I know this. Not you personally. Some of you I do, but a good number of you I don't. I don't know 55,000 people. But I know some of you who do listen to this. And it shows up that you do. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out why everybody in the great city of San Francisco loves this podcast. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I need to come pay you a visit. But everywhere you go online, you leave a thumbprint. You leave a little identifier, a trail of breadcrumbs. And the alphabets out there, I call them that, the alphabets, you know, the IRS, the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, all part of the USA. They're out there watching your every move because they want to make sure that you're not going to do something stupid, you know, like hijack a plane and fly it into a building. Or cut off someone's head in public because, you know, you believe that your God is telling you to do this. There is a lot of this stuff that's going on. I mean, and that's just the way it goes. It's scary. So they have to watch you. So they have to justify their ability to do so. There's nothing you can do about it either. That's the thing about it. That's the really fucked up part about it. There's nothing you can do. Wherever you go, you're being watched. Well, I'm just going to go live off the grid, man. All right, let's take a look at that for a second. First of all, where is off the grid? It doesn't exist. It's not possible anymore. We are rapidly moving more and more toward a cashless society. So unless you or your family have like a nice little piece of farmland that will allow you to provide everything that you need from the earth, I mean, you'd have to grow everything you're going to eat. You have to build your own spot. You're going to have to live without electricity unless you can figure out a way to generate it yourself. You won't have internet. You won't have cable TV or satellite TV because you're, you know, off the grid. You won't have a phone. And God help you if you got sick. So then now you have to go back into the city, and guess what? You're back on the grid again. It's impossible. And if you wanted to get away and hide, the cash ain't going to last forever. Especially when we seem to be moving a lot more toward a cashless society. That's happening too. So, look out. Be careful. Be careful what you wish for, my friends, because we are all right now living in that Orwellian dream, aren't we? Yeah, we are.
Here's what's coming up on the next edition from Radioland.
Unless I was one of these guys that believed that there was something more nefarious going on, I've always wanted to talk about this, and I guess for whatever reason I'd forgotten about it, and I thought it would be kind of a neat idea to go ahead and bring it up about conspiracy theories. To think that everybody is coming to get you in this some form of nature like this is a sign of delusion. It's a sign of paranoia, all perpetuated by the king of it. His name is Alex Jones. Alex runs a website called Infowars.com. If you're up for a good laugh, take a look at that site. We don't need any help from Satan to make things as shitty as they are in this town, because they know they're going to unleash a disease like Ebola across all of us and kill us once and for all. Oh, shut up.
Radio Memphis is an internet broadcasting service provided by PirateRadioStudios.com, Memphis, Tennessee, USA.
Thanks again to all of you who subscribe to this podcast and have been a part of it. It's most appreciative. You can really help me out. All you have to do is tell some people about it. That's really the best thing you can do. Share it on social media. I know that the kids over at the NSA are big fans of this. if they're not, they ought to be fans of this podcast, especially this particular show, because of my random thoughts on this sort of goofiness. I who knows? now I'm just rambling. However, share it with all of your friends. Tell folks about it up on your social media, on your Twitter, your Facebook. What's the other one now? Was it Elo? Is that what it is? Ella? Elo? I don't know. It's like Facebook for people. Or I don't know what it's for. Who knows? Yes, so tell people about it and look out, because more fun is coming, as you just no doubt heard there in the little tease. So there. So I'm going to mosey on. Once again, if you're just subscribing us onto your devices and have not seen the website that this belongs to, you can do that by going to rickcheddar.blogspot.com. That's the written word of the home of this podcast. Sometimes production notes are put up there. Once in a while, I'll actually post a picture on it. You would think. Although here of late, I know there hasn't been much to take a picture of, but just me running my mouth for a while. So that's a good thing, and that's what it's here for. So we hope you have enjoyed it, and we thank you so much for being a part of it. So keep listening. We've got more fun coming before too terribly long, it'll be our anniversary, and I'm working up our first anniversary party for it. So I don't know exactly what, but it'll be fun. At least it'll be fun for me. Whether it's fun for you, I don't know. I'll try to be. Then again, I may not. Who knows? So there you have it. So we'll see you next time. So once again, I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.